The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, your favorite show in existence.
I was going to say that needs no qualifier, but that was a good one. Yeah.
Radio Wasteland is a show about conspiracies, paranormal, and basically things that go bump in the night that people don't want to talk about. I'm your host, Chauncey Haworth, and this is my co-host, Sean.
Hello.
How's your week going?
Not bad. It's been an eventful week, certainly, in terms of the world.
In terms of the world.
The news and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, Golden State killing.
Case in point, yes, I was just about to say, we in California here have received closure on something that actually I'm too young to really know it was even a thing. Like, I wasn't alive, so I barely knew that he existed.
I imagined you to be a fan of serial killers stuff like that.
I am, but I'm not particularly knowledgeable about them, to be honest.
I see.
They're interesting, but the serial killer stories, I can never retain that stuff. I can never remember the names or the dates or, you know.
Right. Especially maybe one that didn't have a name connected to it.
Exactly. Yeah. I remember, I remember some details about the Zodiac Killer because that's a weird one, right?
Right.
It's especially odd, but,
And then specifically with the Golden State Killer, he was several other killers that they figured out was all one guy.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
The way they caught him, though, was certainly, I don't know, it's unexpected, to say the least. At least to me, not knowing about any of this genealogy stuff and exactly, like how it worked. If I had committed those crimes and gotten caught, I would have been like, oh, come on, that's a thing, you know?
Right. Yeah, totally.
I covered my tracks so totally, and then someone finds me because of, this...
You feel a little cheated.
BS extrapolation from science magic. That's just not fair. That's not playing fair.
Yeah, yeah. And then they snuck around and followed him around and got something and got his DNA off of it.
Exactly. Like out of his trash or something, right?
Yeah, it's, it's crazy. It's
Brave New World stuff.
Yeah, it definitely, in the conspiracy world...
I mean, I don't
world,
mind when you're catching serial killers with this technology. Like,
right,
that's cool. But,
everything nowadays is a slippery slope.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of slippery slopes going on here. Mm-hmm. And, the right would argue that that basically through government control, we're slipping towards control, and the left would argue that... by not doing these things and by corporate control, we're allowing corporations to do this. So,
yeah.
So really, you really have to just decide, do you want the government to rule your life or do you want corporations?
Right. Yeah, I find that to be a big difference between conservatives and liberals oftentimes is, just where they have the blind spots in terms of who they trust.
Right.
Naively.
When really ultimately you should probably not trust any of them.
Yeah. But it's hard to boil that down into a political philosophy apart from I shall live in my bunker in the woods in Montana.
So who would you rather have control your life, the government or corporations?
Depends on the corporation.
I guess so.
Right. I mean,
right.
Benevolent governments are great. Benevolent corporations are great. In principle, you can vote for governments, right? Corporations, if they're monopolies, there's not a lot you can do about that.
Well, I was talking to somebody about how I'd like to buy a piece of land and get a...
But that's only in principle. I know, obviously, it doesn't always work that way.
Right.
It rarely does, really.
Well, I was talking to somebody about how I'd like to get a piece of land and get a tiny home on it, and then we'd build another tiny home for our daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then a friend was saying, oh, well, I want to do that too. And we're just all, well, maybe she could get a tiny home there. And then somebody's like, telling me, like, what are you making, some kind of hippie commie? And I'm just all, yeah, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm down with some hippie commie.
If it goes that way, we'll see how we feel. All,
and you really think that would work, is what they say to me. And my answer is the same answer for a benevolent government or a benevolent corporation, and that is, yeah, it'll work for one generation.
Right.
You just can't bank on what the next generation's going to do. But
exactly.
I mean, if I have a friend of mine move into my tiny home who I've known since they were 15, chances are we're going to be all right.
Yeah.
It's the next generation where that stuff is likely going to fall apart.
Yeah.
Because young people are crazy.
Yeah.
You know, we were all young people at one point, maybe a young person now. Sean.
Okay.
You know, you are much more apt to make crazy, life-altering decisions that will affect the people around you, and you wouldn't even realize that it was affecting the people around you until later.
Yeah, that's true.
Because that's just the nature of being young.
Sure.
So it'd work fine until the next generation came along, and people are just all, you know, we're going to throw this all up in the air and watch it burn because we want to, you know? I mean, maybe that's going to come back. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to make people-proof rules. You know, you set up the rules, but no one follows the rules.
Right, right. Speaking of my hippie commune that I want to start.
Sure.
I've been trying to learn to grow plants in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to counseling because I can't stop. And I see no end in sight to anything. I have no short-term goals. My only goals that exist are well beyond my own lifetime. And like, I'm just, like, insane about them.
Well beyond... Are you, like, planning some kind of elaborate after-death conspiracy with your will and, you know, a bunch of money hidden in bank accounts all around the world that sends people on this globe-trotting adventure?
If I have money, yeah. I have money by then. I don't have it now, but yeah, totally.
Well, you said well after my death, and it's like, what could that possibly be if not, you know, some sort of...
Just business stuff and, you know, family stuff and getting stuff done and, you know, just all sorts of just... ridiculous things.
Right, okay. Yeah, I thought you meant globetrotting shenanigans, but okay, go ahead.
No, so I plant a garden to try to give myself, like, these sorts of short-term goals.
Sure.
And I find myself going out there every day and just staring at this garden going, like, why isn't it growing quicker? What's going on? And, like, it's like I'm totally, like, disturbed by how slow my garden moves. And I'm all enamored with my mint plants now because, I mean, what the hell are you going to do with mint, right? I can have, like, a mojito and lamb mint ball party, but it's like, but they grow fast, you know? So it's like every day I go out there and I'm all, yeah, the mint's doing good, you know? But my poor cilantro plant is, like, literally one stalk coming up with a leaf off of it. And my wife's just all, I don't know if it's going to make it.
So you'll be good on herbs in the post-apocalypse.
Yeah, yeah.
Your food will be heavily seasoned.
Yeah, know. Somebody else made that joke about how it's going to be a flavorful apocalypse.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we got a guest tonight who will enjoy the fact that all my plants, my wife has insisted, are organic. Mm-hmm. Matthew Landman is our guest tonight, and we're going to be talking about geoengineering.
Indeed.
Now, this is one of those topics that personally I feel is going on. But to what degree is the question?
Sure.
You know, I mean, we know this is going on to some degree. We know that cloud seeding has happened. We know that some of these things are happening. But to what degree is this going on? He's going to tell us.
I'm excited.
Or at least he's going to give us some clues. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back for Matthew Landman.
I look down on all the people looking up at the big sky. Everybody's pushing one another around. The big sky feels sad when you see the children scream and cry. But the big sky too big to let it get him down. Big sky too big to fly. Big sky too high. Yeah.
Yeah, he'll stop. I have the right of way. Or really, Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision Repair. Don't count on it. He or she might be texting, changing the station on the radio, or breaking up a fight in the back seat. Don't take that chance. Lives are at stake. Distracted driving is a danger to us all. You can be proactive in preventing an accident. There's not much you can do when you're sitting in your car and they back into your door. If this happens to you, come see us. We're located at the south end of East Side Road just before Girvan. With your claim number, we can handle your entire claim process. Our quality repairs and friendly service will have you recommending Coachmaster to all your friends and family. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at BoomerTechRadio.com, and the show is streamed live at KCNR1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or DouglasWrightLaw.com.
Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar. I'm here with Jeb Allen, owner of Palomar Homes, and we're here at the Salt Creek Heights subdivision.
We're very fortunate to be involved with Powerhouse as they do such a great job on the installation. It's clean, it's simple, it's a no-brainer. The first 34 home buyers in Salt Creek subdivision comes with a solar setup already.
The thing that to me is exciting is that each home has the ability to turn their home into a zero-energy home. And they can be part of making this a zero-energy community. The system that we're installing, up to 10 panels, will eliminate all of the kilowatt-hour usage of that home. And if they add a pool, if they add an electric car in the future, then at that point they can add more solar to offset those loads as well.
We've already recognized quite a bit of savings by using SunPower and Powerhouse Solar.
If you'd like more information on Salt Creek Heights and how Powerhouse Solar can zero out your energy bill, call 275-5600 today.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Matthew Landman. Matthew, we got you there with us.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being on. So I was reading about you, and your story is really interesting and one that's happening more and more about going from sort of a corporate life to a bit more of a homesteady life. How did you get started in what led you to geoengineering and chemtrails and all this research?
Well, and thank you so much for asking, because I do like to try to convey to people that I'm just a normal guy turned activist. I grew up in Virginia, and then after all these different walks of life and many careers, I ended up in Northern California going back to school. Just over the mountains from you all, I went over to Humboldt State University and got my master's in business administration with a focus in strategic sustainability, graduated top of my class, and while I was there, I studied film, which enabled me to create the documentary Frankenskies. But after I graduated with the MBA, I ended up just doing what I was always doing, which was working in a cubicle. I worked as a finance analyst, and then I ended up working for Internews, this nonprofit that has an office in Arcata over there. And then finally I got this opportunity to work on an organic farm. And I took it, and it was amazing. It changed my life forever. I was working with squash and potato and corn and all these different fruits and vegetables, primarily winter squash, a dozen varieties, and potatoes. And I literally had never known, after 35 years of life and all this education and what have you, I didn't know that potatoes grew potatoes. So that alone made me kind of wake up to this indoctrination that we call the educational system. And from there, I learned a lot about nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, which is all you really need to grow crops. And there on the farm, let's see, when was it? It was around 2015 at the time, maybe 2014, and we were really deep into this drought, okay? We were like 4 or 5 years into this drought that we've been witnessing in California. And it was harvest season. It was there was squash and pumpkin in the field, and we were supposed to go out and harvest in early October, and the storm was coming. So we were out there harvesting in what I thought was going to be the rain because of this 100% chance of rain over the next week. But the storm clouds came rolling off the ocean, and along with them is what I witnessed was a statistically significant uptick in air traffic. Because I've studied the stock market and finance and all this stuff, I'm a numbers guy. And what I witnessed was way more jets than I'd ever seen out there on that farm on the edge of the storm. So anybody who has witnessed it in Redding and in California or nationwide, you know, around the world, you first start to see it on the edge of weather patterns, because that's when a lot of planes show up, especially in the past. Nowadays, it's becoming so much more prolific that you've got drones feeding and spraying different stuff all the time. But at that time, there was sparse air traffic. There was sparse air traffic every single day. But on this particular day, on the edge of this big dark storm system, these planes showed up, a dozen planes. And there was never a dozen planes in the sky when I was out there farming. And so not only were these planes irregular, this irregular pattern of appearance, this statistical anomaly, that they also had these persistent linear cirrus cloud formations coming out of the back, these lines coming out of the back. And as those lines bellowed into a white milky haze, the storm came and it didn't drop any rain. And that was my little aha moment. So I started looking at the sky more and asking questions, and come to find out there was weather modification going on right over my head, and drought causation, like purposeful drought causation right over my head. And so I ended up devoting my life to it and making the film and running with it, because not very many people knew what was going on.
So you feel in that situation that they were causing drought, not trying to bring the weather to you?
Well, that was exactly what seemed to be going on, because the storm didn't drop any rain, and we were really desperate for rain at the time. I had amphibious salamanders and frogs coming out from underneath my house expecting this rain, and we hadn't had rain in a few years, and it was very abnormal. So the planes that came, after doing research, I learned that if you spray aluminum, you can dissipate storms, and if you spray silver, you can make it rain. But yeah, it seemed like the planes, they were spraying something to make the storm cloud not drop the rain on the farm and on California where I was at.
So I watched your movie today, Franken Skies, and
thanks.
And in the movie, it was really sort of talking about the way they move weather is by dropping certain, not chemicals, but elements, I guess, that basically cause, you know, pressure in order to really bend the jet stream. Is that, I'm not sure if I'm explaining that very well.
No, yeah, you're right there. So it's a little complicated, because all this stuff, it's not in, we don't learn this growing up. Yeah. It's not in our formal educational system. But there was a guy, Nikola Tesla, and Tesla, he discovered how to use frequency. And his research was adopted and picked up by the U.S. Air Force and the military and the U.S. government. And one of the first research centers was this thing called HAARP, H-A-A-R-P, which stands for the Highly Active Auroral Research Program, which started off in Alaska. Now we've got these same, what they're called ionospheric heaters. We've got these same ionospheric heater stations. They're stationed all over the United States, and they're even called NEXRAD stations. But what they do is they utilize frequency. So when they first set it up in Alaska and had this antenna array in Alaska, they had this football field size antenna array, this football field of antennas. And what they would do is have the antennas focus on a focal point in the atmosphere and then direct frequency at that focal point in the atmosphere to superheat that point in the atmosphere. Then they learned if they sprayed aerosolized metallics, such as aluminum, barium, strontium, these things that are in the patents that are showing up in the rainwater and in our blood and hair analysis and what have you, and even in the lichen and what have you. There's a lot of research coming out of, even out of that area, Reading, that has shown the corollaries to the different chemicals used. They aerosolize, for instance, aluminum, spray it in the stratosphere or the troposphere, and in this instance, they call it an ionosphere heater because when they first started testing this layer of the atmosphere, they would superheat the ionosphere. But after they lay out with the planes, they with these sprayers out of tanks, they spray aerosolized, oxidized aluminum. And as it bellows out into these fake clouds that look very abnormal, especially if you've been looking at the sky for as long as I have, I'm 37 now, the Hartz frequency array picks a focal point in that fake cloud and superheats it so that metallic, aerosolized metallics, those help with the heating of the atmosphere. So then you superheat the atmosphere, then the heat below it rises because hot air rises, and you can create this high pressure. So when you see on the Weather Channel, especially back in the day when we watched TV, we didn't have the internet, there's these H's and L's on the weather, right? Those are high and low pressure. Basically means sinking air or rising air. And rising air is high pressure, and if you can create rising air by superheating the atmosphere, you can create an upward draft and you can steer jet streams. So for instance, the California drought, once they perfected this technology, they could spray mass amounts of these aerosolized metallics over the coast of California. Okay, and then they pick these certain points in this plume, and they superheat it and create, and they keep doing it. They keep spraying and keep superheating it, and they create this high-pressure bubble over the coast of California. So then when you get this traditional jet stream that comes off of the Pacific, and usually we cross the entire transcontinental United States, and the mouth of this, what they call atmospheric river, this jet stream, the mouth of the atmospheric river goes from San Francisco all the way up to Seattle and beyond. And so generally, without this weather modification program intact, this jet stream would come off the Pacific and it would bring the seasonal deluge of moisture from October to April. You all know about it. And the 2,000-year-old redwood trees, they surely know about it. So by creating this high-pressure bubble off the coast, the jet stream, as it comes west to east, it hits this bubble and it steers up and around and loops up to Vancouver, Canada, up over the border, and comes down and completely misses California, causing drought. And then everyone asks why. Everyone wants to know who, what, why, where, when before they can really sink their teeth into this thing. And the why is disruption of agriculture and consolidation of agriculture for big ag, so all these small family farms can get bought out and what have you. And maybe just to test their weather weapon. But, yeah, it is ongoing. And once you do the research, you can see that it's quite evident.
Well, you know, so I didn't. I'm really kind of amazed about all this. When I watched the movie, I was really kind of amazed, you know, because we're shown that this is so much fringe. But when I watched the show, there was so much there that seemed to be, you know, straight out of the government's mouth, you know, straight out of science's mouth about what we do and what we're capable of doing. We're coming up here on our first commercial break. You're listening to Matthew Landman here on Radio Wasteland, so don't miss out and come on back.
If you're a traveler and you can't relax, close your eyes, think on this. If the rumors floating in your head are turned to facts, close your eyes and think on them. Armonia City.
WCNR, Free Fire Radio, your town hall of the airwaves, is ground zero for the renaissance of downtown Reading. Our state-of-the-art on-air studio is under construction right now, so you might hear a bit of hammering in the background. We're upgrading our sound and control systems, so you may occasionally hear a little glitch, but bear with us, we will keep it to a minimum. And we will be expanding our presence with an FM channel and an exciting launch into video on YouTube Live. KCNR, Free Fire Radio. Join in the conversation.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we keep our produce pure by bathing our fruits and vegetables with water from our multi-stage purification system, leaving it fresh, clean, and crisp. Fresh from the farm to your family's table. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Granite and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
The world's largest dinosaurs are coming to Turtle Bay Exploration Park May 5th through September 9th. You can explore the amazing biology of supersized dinos in this epic new exhibition, great for all ages. The world's largest dinosaurs is organized by the American Museum of Natural History and presented by Dennis and Cheryl Bambauer, with major support from U.S. Bank and Shasta Regional Medical Center. The world's largest dinosaurs is included with park admission and always free for members. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
This is Carl Bott, and I'm with Dan Scott of Eagle Eye Painting. And Dan's doing all the painting in our new studios. Dan, you've been doing this for 20 years. What should people be looking for at this time of the year?
Peeling paint, moisture in the wood, moisture in the stucco would be a couple things to look for. And then they know it's time to paint.
You've got, with 20 years in the business, what are some of the places you've been working with around here?
I've painted breweries, all the country club, SJ Denim, Mark Street Steakhouse. Those are just a few I've painted.
The thing I like about Eagle Eye Painting is when you give an estimate, that estimate stays there. It doesn't change halfway through the job.
No, there's no variation in my proposal. I have confidence in my numbers, and I stick to those. DanScottPainting.com, 530-400-5152. Eagle Eye Painting, a clear vision of craftsmanship. Eagle Eye Painting.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Matthew Landman. You know, in my research of all this stuff and looking into it, you know, the media has really done a number on this topic because I have associated this with tinfoil hat nut jobs for quite some time. And I go into this and I do the research on it, and not only does a lot of it make sense, but a lot of these structures and everything that are causing this are actually there. A lot of the science is true. And I live by a lot of mantras in my life, and one of which is that at no point in human civilization has there ever been an invention that people decided, man, we're just not going to use that one. you know, something that we can somehow use to our advantage, and we decide as a civilization we're just not going to use it. And so here we are looking at a ton of science supporting this stuff, and, you know, are we using it? So I guess my question to you, Matthew, is how much of this is the government, I assume it's the government doing it, admitting that they're doing?
Well, it's funny because they pretty much admit to all of it, but it's all in their own terms. So by controlling the media and controlling the dialogue and controlling the narrative and controlling the way that people think about the subject, they've already controlled the way that we perceive it altogether. So first they started with the terminology, and the verbiage on it is so incredibly important. Because I, too, thought that it was a fringe topic, conspiracy theory, tinfoil hat, whatever you want to call it. And when I started digging, at first I thought, oh, there's no way this could possibly be true. And trust me, I didn't want to devote my life to this. You know, I didn't want to lose my friends or anything like that. I was so worried what my peers would think, and my ego came in the way and said, are you crazy? This is crazy talk. But it's really real. And the verbiage tells the story. So you've got this word geoengineering, okay? And geoengineering, when I first started making my movie, I thought that I was just bringing people the information and saying, hey, please look at the sky. I promise if you start looking, something's really going on. I never thought that they would actually launch geoengineering as a supposed solution to global warming and climate change, and now we're in this full steam ahead programming where it's being normalized. Where the social conditioning is normalizing, they launched 12 new clouds to the cloud atlas, and now they're saying that they need to spray the skies all the time to dim the sun to save us from global warming. It's a really dystopian, a crazy world we live in where my film shifted from please look at the sky to, hey, look, this is what the media and the powers that be are saying they want to do. So geoengineering has always been this term that seems like it's good and scientific, but it's this conspiratorial thing. Heaven forbid you use the word chemtrails. Chemtrails had always been demonized as this chemical trails from planes. It's the same. These are all synonyms I'm going to be using. Chemtrails, geoengineering, and these other words I'm going to go over. But if you use the word chemtrails, we've got controlled opposition planted narrative speakers that are saying the word chemtrails but acting all crazy, but they're purposefully doing this, okay? And then the media is saying, oh, how could anyone think chemtrails are real? And they even did a study right before they launched that they needed geoengineering to save the planet. They did this mock scientific study that every single media outlet on Earth picked up. Every mainstream media. A lot of people don't know that the media has been completely consolidated. It's been consolidated down to five or six companies now, right? We used to have all these trusted news sources. They're all owned by the same families now, the same companies. And now they can control the entire narrative by framing the argument the way that they want. So it's this problem, reaction, solution that they've gotten so good at. So while we're over here bickering, is it geoengineering, is it chemtrails, what word should be used, which word is conspiratorial, and those are the search terms that I'm thinking. I'm really smart when I'm using the geoengineering word, and if I look up chemtrails, I'm getting this fringe topic. All the while, you've got SRM, which is the solar radiation management. And this is like a program through our government, but if you don't know to look up solar radiation management and the Solar Radiation Management Governance Initiative, a governance body put in place to govern this solar radiation management project, which is the dimming of our sun to save us from global warming, if you don't know to look up these terms, you're just, you know, in the dark with it, looking up the wrong verbiage and playing their game. Also, the CIA director, he nonchalantly references the Stratospheric Aerosol Injections Program, SAI, and all the while this SAI program is getting funded and all that stuff, and nobody's knowing even to look these words up. And the list goes on. You've got SPICE, the Stratospheric Particle Injection for Climate Engineering Program, and this is ongoing. Through NASA, you've got the CARE Program, Charged Aerosol Release Experiments, And this charged aerosol release experiment has, it has a fleet of planes, a fleet of drones, and they make, quote, noctilucent clouds. They spray the skies with barium, aluminum, and strontium, utilizing these patents that go decades back. NASA has a budget of $52 million per day. That's their budget this year. Last year was $54 million per day. Okay? So they have a lot of money to throw around, and with that money, they use it to make these chemical clouds over our heads, right? You've also got the Tropospheric Aerosol Program, TAP. And this one is really fascinating. If you look up Tropospheric Aerosol Program, Department of Energy, you'll see a document that came out right in 2001, right before 9/11. So a lot of distraction was about to happen. And the Department of Energy funded this Tropospheric Aerosol Program where they did this persistent linear cirrus cloud formation grid pattern of different chemicals with their fleet that they already had established. The Department of Energy over Nashville, Tennessee, they put up drones and balloons and helicopters and land-based stations and spent millions of dollars in 2001. They had a budget that they lined out, and the document's 100 pages, and it details everything. But in that document, they do not use the word chemtrails, contrails, or geoengineering. And they even spent $5 million in 2001 making sure that they didn't get caught. And so if you really start to sink your teeth into this and realize the Department of Energy has had a nefarious plan to eradicate solar as a renewable energy resource, so these dirty coal and oil energy companies, they got together and said, how are we going to block out the sun and make sure that solar energy doesn't proliferate? And then in doing so, they realized that they could use their ash from their coal-burning power plants, and that's what they use to spray the skies. So they refine this coal fly ash, and they can get their dirty nanoparticulate titanium, cadmium, aluminum, barium, strontium. All this stuff is all full circle, goes right back. You just follow the money, goes right back to the Department of Energy, okay? So all the while, we've got all this stuff hidden right in plain sight. But when we're having their controlled argument, their controlled conversation, we're just spinning circles trying to figure out what's going on. Really quick, I'm hosting now my third global conference. I've hosted about a dozen events, but these global summits, I'm on the third annual one. Last year in Portland, I held one, and I had a U.S. Department of Agriculture scientist out of your region. And he, as I believe he's in Reading, and he studied the lichen in Mount Shasta. And right when everyone started seeing these lines in the sky in the late 90s and early 2000s, and the soil was being impacted and the trees were being impacted, these lichen who get their nutrients out of, lichen are like these little moss animal, like it's like this fungus moss thing, lichen, it gets its nutrients from the air. So when it's pulling its nutrients out of the air, anything in the air is going to be shown in the lichen, and there's these exponential statistically significant spikes in aluminum, barium, and strontium in these lichen. So the proof is in the pudding when you really start looking into it. And then we have U.S. Department of Agriculture, Rosalyn Peterson, who just passed away, and she was identifying all this and spoke at the UN about this exact issue. But if you're playing their game and you're researching their terms and you're reading our quote-unquote trusted news sources, you're going to be subject to their conditioning and social engineering.
So we don't have long until our next commercial break. In fact, we just have 1 minute. But you're saying that the motivations behind this is purely money. They're not trying to necessarily save us. They're trying to save their profits and their financial standing.
Oh, it's quite nefarious. I think anything that says that they're doing it for our own good is just to trick us into believing that the carbon that we exhale is killing the planet and that we have to spray ourselves with chemicals to block out the sun to ruin the planet just because they say it's, you can either take truth as the authority or authority is the truth. A lot of people just listen to the authority and let that be the truth. But if you start resonating with the truth and you really realize what's going on, it all becomes self-evident.
All right. You're listening to Matthew Landman here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, May 18th from 8 to 9 on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
This is Newt Gingrich with a message of hope to every conservative in California. Help is on the way. Recent statewide polls show conservative Republican businessman John Cox has now surged to second place right behind Gavin Newsom. That's happened for two reasons. Not only has John Cox become the clear favorite of Republicans, but his insurgent campaign is also winning over independents. Why? Because they agree with John Cox on the two most pressing issues facing Californians, repealing Jerry Brown's sanctuary state and his $52 billion gas tax increase. I know John Cox, and believe me, leaders around the country are excited about the conservative resurgence he's leading in California. If you've had enough of the corrupt Sacramento establishment and are ready to fight back, then I urge you to join with me, Newt Gingrich, in supporting conservative champion John Cox for governor.
Paid for by John Cox for governor 2018.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guest, Matthew Landman, the creator of the movie Franken Skies, which I watched today, which was very interesting, very compelling. Matthew, how much of this is, I realize we don't have a straight answer on this, but how much of this do you think is warfare?
Well, that's a good question. In my film, Franken Skies, the most important aspect of the film is the first 30 minutes, how it goes through the chronological timeline. Okay, we start off in the 1930s, and we show how this program evolved, and it was taken over by the U.S. Air Force and the military operations as a weather weapon. So that was how it evolved to where it is. Now that it's gotten into global dimming and dimming the sun for the entire planet, it's gotten really deep and sick and twisted. And when you realize the connection to weather derivatives and that there's an exchange where weather is traded and people who can predict the weather can make a lot of money, and you see the connection to Monsanto, aluminum-resistant genetics, and you see that only Monsanto's seeds will grow in this dystopian future that they're creating, the picture starts to become very clear. But in Vietnam, the Ho Chi Minh Trail was flooded. And you know what's really ironic is what they used to seed the clouds to flood the Ho Chi Minh Trail in Vietnam? Dry ice, which is carbon dioxide. So they've been utilizing carbon dioxide to manipulate the weather for decades, for nearly a century. But then, as they use these different programs to mess with the climate, and they put carbon dioxide in our atmosphere at copious amounts, and then they superheat the atmosphere to steer weather patterns, and they create high-pressure bubbles and superheat the atmosphere. Then they say that the atmosphere is heating because of our emissions, and they have a problem that they've created, and then they blame us. And the reaction is fear, and the solution is, again, the problem that they initially hid from us, which is the spraying of our skies with nanoparticulates, aluminum and barium and strontium and all these chemicals to supposedly save us from global warming. So after the United States sprayed different chemicals to make it deluge in the Ho Chi Minh Trail in Vietnam, the world saw that the United States had a weather weapon, and they all, the countries of the world came together and signed an international treaty saying that they would not use weather as a weapon, but it could be used to experiment on your own people. So that's one thing that the U.S. took advantage of, and that's why they do so much of it here. But if you see the testimonies from the president of Iran, for instance, Ahmadinejad, he claims that the U.S. has created drought in his country, that they drain the clouds before they get there, that they steer jet streams so that he doesn't get rain and his country doesn't get rain, and they superheated the atmosphere above his country to create unbelievably high temperatures, record-breaking high temperatures for the entire planet in Iran. So they do use it as a weather weapon, as a war weapon, but it's not just that. The agenda is so multi-purposed. It crosses so many different categories that I would say that it's actually at this day and age, it's a small fraction of it, unless you want to consider that the U.S. government is at war with us, then I would say, yes, it is a weather weapon.
Well, it seems to me like, some of the more extreme ideas that are coming here, like, dimming the sun and stuff like that, it's like, I think the pushback that I would give is like, in this day and age where nobody in this world seems to be able to get along, this would need to be a global conspiracy of these people getting along for this purpose.
Well, if you're asking how many countries are involved, I don't think that the United States really cares. And as long as they can convince the world that this is what we need. So what happened was this Paris Agreement. Trump and the powers that be, whoever's behind Trump, they created this facade, this whole charade of Paris Climate Accord, and they say, well, we can't sign because we can't cut our emissions that much, and now we're left with only, we're left with making a different decision, and then they push in this geoengineering idea. So what happened last year is the establishment of this solar geoengineering governance regime, a self-proclaimed regime out of Chicago. It's a very small group of globalists who came together who claim that they have exclusive rights to saving the planet. Okay, this is a paper, you can look it up. Exclusive rights to saving the planet through geoengineering. And they claim that they have to act now because if they don't, everything's going to turn into chaos. So they've established this regime. They're launching this experiment in Tucson, Arizona. So I've moved. I was living in Vancouver, Canada with my family. I moved my family down to Arizona to bring attention to this experiment that's unfolding through the primary solar geoengineer by the name of David W. Keefe, and he's a Harvard professor of solar geoengineering. He's having this experiment unfold in Tucson where this high-tech balloon is spraying different chemicals in front of the sun. He's using variable sizes of nanoparticulate aluminum, imagine that, to see which chemicals work best to dim the sunlight. I just received word that the experiment is actually now ongoing, and so I'm hosting this conference May 12th. You can find out about it at stopgeoengineeringtucson.com. And at the conference, I've got speakers from all over the world that are coming together to bring light to this situation, which is this unfolding experiment. And then what they claim after this experiment goes well, if and when it goes well, which if you can see through the lies, you can see that this experiment is going to unfold and go well, and that they will say, hey, look, I think aluminum is the best thing to spray in front of the sun to block your sun to save you from global warming. once that experiment is done, they want to launch what they're calling full-scale deployment. Okay, they're likening it to a volcanic eruption, which actually makes it sound a lot less harmless, but it's way worse than a volcanic eruption. But they're calling it a Mount Pinatubo effect. This is the term that's being run through the media to try to normalize and socially condition everybody to thinking that it's okay because volcanoes erupt and it's natural. Well, it's not natural. Mount Pinatubo erupted in 1991 in the Philippines. All this sulfuric dust went up into the atmosphere, and it supposedly lowered the global mean temperature about 1 degree Celsius because so much sulfuric dust was blocking sunlight. They claim, these scientists, I mean, when I say they, it really turns people off. It's this Royal Society is what they're called. It's Bill Gates. Bill Gates is termed the sugar daddy of geoengineering. It's Bill Gates. It's David W. Keith. It's just a handful of globalists who ultimately want to control the world. You know, if they get to dictate who gets sunlight, who does not, who gets blue skies, who does not, who gets rain, who does not, they control everything. Okay? I can't look at it from there. I'm not a psychopath or sociopath, you know. When people say why, it's greed. It's greed and power, and they're power hungry, you know. I don't know exactly why, but I do know it's very, very bad, and the future of humanity is at risk. So if they get to launch their quote-unquote full-scale deployment, they want to spray the skies with a massive fleet of drones everywhere all the time until the skies are white everywhere on Earth, okay? And then once we get to that point, they say that's the point of no return, where they have to just continue to do it for decades to try to slow down the heating of the planet. But what they're going to do is create a greenhouse effect with this metal layer and actually create global warming. Okay? And then from that point, they'll say, oh, we need to spray more. It's not working. And then where are we at that point? You know, we've lost agriculture. Trees are dying. We don't get any vitamin D. We're getting sprayed with chemicals. We got to figure out gas masks and chelation and get all this heavy metals out of our body. It's a very dystopian, sad future for our children and for the plants and animals on Earth, and it's not something I am willing to accept.
Well, yeah, it's a very scary, slippery slope. We're here at the end of the interview. I want to make sure that you have a chance to tell our audience where they can find out more about you.
Well, I have a Facebook page. I got 30,000 followers on there, but then I started seeing some really amazing, incredible censorship over the past few months. There's a serious crackdown on truth with the net neutrality on the internet. If you haven't witnessed it, censorship is here. Okay, so please do follow me on Facebook, but I doubt you'll see any of my posts. Matt Landman is my name on there. And then please visit my websites. I have actualactivists.com. On actualactivists.com, I talk about a lot of different truths. I even have a daily truth where I post an update of some sort of daily truth about health, about geoengineering, about different agendas around the world that I find important that are for the like-minded. I've also got the website stopgeoengineeringtucson.com. And then my website for my film is frankenskiesthemovie.com. And I really hope that anyone watching, if you're curious, you want something to empower and inspire you to bring the truth to your friends and family and peers, please watch Frankenskies the movie at frankenskiesthemovie.com and empower yourself with some knowledge. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yeah, no problem. It was a totally interesting movie, and I really enjoyed talking to you. Thanks for being on Radio Wasteland. You've been listening to Matthew Landman.
The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.